When the BBC premiered its Tokyo 2020 video, it was a colorful mishmash of anime and manga with vocals by virtual pop idol Hatsune Miku, a software voice bank. Some complained this was selling Japan yet again as this fantasy, anime, manga wonderland, techno-orientalism. But manga was very much part of the Olympics opening ceremony. As the athletes walked into the stadium, the country names showed up on placards like manga speech bubbles. The assistants' costumes had manga touches. They marched into the stadium to the soundtrack of video games like Sonic the Hedgehog and Dragon Quest. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata. Paul Gravett is a world-renowned authority on comics and the author of Mangasia. When I met him at the Tata Steel Kolkata Literary Meet, he said even before there was the term manga, there were scrolls.
I mean, you can go back way back before the term manga and find scrolls where you've got sort of cavorting rabbits and frogs and doing all sorts of mischief. And in many ways, we've come back to scrolling now with scrolling on the online on our smartphones.
He says as Japan opened up to the West, it also encountered the idea of a political cartoon. Modern manga is now thought of as quintessentially Japanese, but it actually takes some inspiration from American comics.
The free Sunday pages, the large format Sunday pages, where beautifully printed, extraordinarily colourful stories in comics form are printed. Famous series like Little Nemo in Slumberland, Crazy Cat, Dick Tracy.
Of course, manga is the Japanese term for comics in general from all over the world, not just Japanese ones. But the West has a certain stereotype of what manga means.
The idea of drawings run riot, because the idea is that manga is that kind of freedom and looseness and slight anarchy.
Paul says manga grew up in the 50s, thanks to a group of artists called the Gekiga.
Who were, on the one hand, passionate about manga, but also realized its limitations, that it was still very much aimed towards children. And they were looking to a young workforce, new people working in offices, in factories, students, this audience that wasn't being talked to.
While the manga on display at the Olympics is still more cutesy than edgy, manga has taken on the issues of the day head on since the 60s.
There was great unhappiness about the closeness and control remaining in U.S. hands, U.S. Army bases, treaties, the involvement in the Vietnam War, for example.
And that continues.
Even with Fukushima, for example, the nuclear power plant disaster, very quickly manga artists were dealing with that, both in a documentary form, but also in more kind of human terms.
Paul thinks manga retains its edge because its key characters are owned by their creators, not corporate franchises.
Whereas the Marvel DC characters are corporate franchises which are going to be with us forever because they can't kill them off.
But manga creators actually had the freedom to create and move on.
By and large, creators owned and directed the stories and could say, well, I've done that. I finished with Dragon Ball. I finished with Naruto. Well, they might come back to them. But they could go off and do something else.
And thus you might have subgenres of manga, not quite Sunday comics fare.
One of my favorite titles for a manga magazine was Truly Horrifying Mother-in-Law and Daughter-in-Law Stories.
Or golf manga.
A golf match can last hundreds of pages and you have some giant double-page spreads of a golf ball going through the air.
Or manga by women for women featuring boys' loves. Very pretty, blonde, fair-skinned boys.
These are stories where women are able to explore sexual mores, sexual relationships, without the usual heteronormative pressures that are certainly very strong in Japan.
You will probably not see any of this in the Tokyo Olympics. But while we smile at the cuteness of it all, it's worth remembering that manga isn't just about being cute.
it's not always a force for good. You know, comics can be very demonizing and alienating, and they can be used for very hurtful propaganda purposes. But at their best, they can be a force for good and for change.
In these pandemic times, we could all do with some of that. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW